Hey, welcome to Unpitchable, a podcast about fake movies. This is your podcast for February 6, 2016. And I am Nick, and with me I have
Tim Catania
and David Johnson.
Awesome. So for those of you who don't know this podcast, all we're doing is making up movies, sequels, and it's unpitchable because we genuinely don't know what we're pitching.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Yeah,
it's fair.
Good deal. Rolling are we out. Supposed to wear pants here?
Logistically, yes.
Okay. Logistically? It helps with the dampening.
Okay.
Everyone nail your pants to the wall. It helps with dampening.
All right. I guess. That might be weird if Mindy walked in and all three of us had no pants.
My pants are damp. I mean, dampening. And she's like, what are you talking about? Like, what?
Mindy's like, when you guys leave, she's like, you can't do the podcast here anymore.
I ate that Pop-Tart and my bowels just released.
Let's talk about the most horrible Pop-Tart that we've ever eaten.
Yeah,
in
in the existence.
So David, like, braved the depths of hell and, like, went in and found, like, this PR Pop-Tart. It's like maple and bacon.
Limited edition, guys.
Like the stuff he had to do to get this Pop-Tart can't be talked about on air because he will go to jail. And it's maple and bacon. And I really feel like David should give us his impression because he's had time to recover. Like, he ate it, like, a week ago and he has time to recover. What do you think?
This is all right, true.
So
on the Pop-Tart cast, what would you rate this Pop-Tart?
This was 2.2 Pop-Tarts on the Pop-Tart scale of deliciousness.
What's the high number? Like 0.2?
One.
One? What? Oh, it's technically a Pop-Tart, so I think it's a 0.1 point. And after that, I have frosting on it. So that's 0.2.
6.2. That's all I got.
That's all I got.
It's a Pop-Tart.
Why do they even make
only
Pop-Tarts with no frosting? Have you seen those? That's not a Pop-Tart. That's a pastry.
Unfrostable.
Welcome to yes. Unfrostable. This is a podcast about Pop-Tarts.
Wait. We were having trouble with the intro. I think I can do the Unfrostable intro, though. I think I can handle this. Like, welcome to the Unfrostable podcast. This is your podcast for February 6, 2016. I'm Tim Catania. And with me is Nick Kagi and David Johnson. We did it perfect.
Oh, my God.
Unfrostable.
Well,
we're not doing the Unpitchable podcast anymore.
So, this Pop-Tart, all right. I bought it. I was kind of excited about it.
Tell me about where you bought it.
I went to Publix.
How much was it?
What is Publix for people who don't have Publix?
Yeah, what is a Publix? Also, what is a grocery store? Also, what is a car that you got into the grocery store? Also, what's a parking lot you park in? Also, can you tell me what human existence is like?
If you don't have Publix in your state, then I'm sorry. Publix is great. It's like if Walmart tried.
Well, you buy Pop-Tarts there, so
reasoning. It's a grocery store.
It's either
basically
a gas station or a grocery store.
When we moved to Alabama, you bought this from Publix, the Mexican market.
Publix is the name of the guy.
When we moved to Alabama, we thought Publix was an adult bookstore.
Okay, I believe that.
Okay. So, I bought this Pop-Tart. I came home. I was like, I'm going to try in the morning. I get to work, I open the Pop-Tart, and immediately I'm hit with a smell, and you guys smelled it. I made you at least smell it before either of you agreed to try it. It's rough. Right?
Can we add in the part where you text us the picture of how excited you were showing
that's
the
right
box?
I did.
Were
I took a picture of the night before, and I said, kind of excited to try this.
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing is, with Pop-Tarts,
maple
the only
bacon
good flavor is s'mores, so.
Well,
that's not true. Fudge is pretty good, too.
Vanilla cream is the best, but they don't roll it out but like once a year.
Yeah, so
vanilla cream is the best. Kellogg's, please send us vanilla cream.
This is the Kellogg's podcast, talking about all the Kellogg's products you could ever want to know
and
about.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Kellogg's.
It's the Kellogg's podcast.
I'm Mr. Kellogg. Buy my cereal or die. Whoa, that's a weird ad, dude. Come on, like, this is a family-friendly podcast. Most of the time. No, so like, all right, you sent me this picture, and I got psyched because I was like, I could probably get some of that Pop-Tart if I asked.
I like maple. I like bacon.
Yeah.
I like Pop-Tarts.
I like maple and bacon together. That's a good combination. Yeah.
So I get to work. I open it. Smell immediately should have warned me. This is not something that should go in your body. But it didn't. I said, you know what? Some things smell kind of rough, but they still taste good.
Yeah, like dead raccoon. Like, yeah, you know, you hit a raccoon and you're like, smells bad.
Well, asparagus doesn't always
they
smell
pretty
that
much
great, but
they pretty much eat
right
trash all the time. So
like
they smell
when
terrible.
Drink, when
the
you drink cold
great
milk, but it's not sour yet.
Yeah.
It's
sure
like just slightly sour.
That's exactly what he's describing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, sure. So I took a tiny nibble because I was kind of scared. I don't even think I took a bite as big as you guys, I'm going to be honest. I was, so you got a roar into the deal. If my mouth had an eject button, I would have pushed it. I understand that eject is literally just spitting it out, but I'm saying I needed. I touched my face as
you're,
if
you're
eject.
Saying that you're.
I looked for an eject button, is what I'm saying.
Your
natural
biological response wasn't fast enough. You needed intervention from somebody else to like get that out of your mouth.
I needed to not think about having to spit it out. I needed to just be able to touch my body and make it.
See, come. I think I had the opposite experience of you. I mean, I hated it. Don't get me wrong. But when I ate it, I immediately said, I almost tried to spit it out on the table. Like, I was like, I gotta get this out of my mouth immediately. It tasted like you ate an old shoe. It was like one of those things where, like, I kept chewing it. I'm like, this is gonna get better. And then I didn't spit it out until, I don't know, like 30 seconds later. And then I almost died. It was great.
Yeah, so I was forced. I knew after reactions not to eat this, but they asked me to eat it for the sake of being able to talk about something on this podcast. And so, you know, we record on Saturdays here, and David thought it was a great idea to bring it into my house, which can I just thank you personally from the bottom of my heart.
See, the problem is, like, if you let it get over the threshold, it has control of your house.
Yeah.
That's how it is with spirits and Pop-Tarts. So you can't invite it in, man. And vampires, I think. I don't know. That's probably true.
I bit into it, and it really just tasted like someone poured crystallized maple syrup over ham. Like
that
potted
sounds,
ham.
Sounds really
like
good.
Potted ham.
That sounds good.
Oh
that.
My gosh, get out of here, you two.
I'd eat that.
Okay, hold on. I think I know what the smell is like, and maybe Tim will get this.
Welcome to the smell cast. We talk about our favorite smells on this podcast.
Let me just explain this real quick. All right, Tim, have you read The Oath by Frank Peretti?
Yeah, no.
Have you?
All right, wait.
Does it have like
I'm
a scratch
serious.
And sniff portion of the book?
No, I just want to know if you read it. If not, okay, it doesn't matter. They're trying to attract bears in this book, all right?
Oh my gosh.
That was
so underrated. Did you hear
I was
that?
Actually asking that question.
He said, does it have a scratch and sniff on the
well,
book?
No, because it would kill you.
A lot of Christian novelists, you know, they have to like do some, you know, some gimmick to try to get you to read their book. I mean, it's scratch and sniff. It's like, okay, cool. It's like The Notebook, but they're scratch and sniff.
Scratch and sniff these souls burning in eternity. Is that where you're going with that?
No, I wasn't. But
it could.
It could.
Turn of burn.
That could be us. This is the Turn of Burn podcast.
So, okay, it doesn't matter if you've read the book or not. All I need you to know is that there's a bear in the beginning of the book. They're trying to track this bear. So apparently, according to this book, bears are really attracted to the smell of day-old donuts soaked in bacon grease. And that's exactly what I feel like that thing tasted like.
This is the worst audiobook I've ever listened to in my entire life. That's what I just like. Whoa. You should read this with Frank Peretti. Except for you should talk about it like you read it. That'd be great. That's the new audiobook. The new audiobook podcast we're putting together. David reads a book and tries to describe it.
But needless to say, I had to throw the Pop-Tart in a coworker's trash can like a couple of desks away
you
from
did
me.
Tell me that.
Because I didn't want to have to smell it.
It's like
day.
You got like the black mark from Pirates or whatever.
So
but
Stephanie,
you gave it to somebody
I'm
else.
Sorry.
Like,
there was a nasty podcast.
She can handle it. She can handle it. She's tough. She'll be
so
right.
So let's all give the Pop-Tart a rating. David, you gave it a what?
A 0.2 on the Pop-Tart scale.
I'm giving it a 0.1.
So I would like to not be on the scale. And the reason why... excuse me. I don't feel like I can properly and accurately describe the flavor of this without telling you about the tortured souls they used to create it. And so I would give it 15 orphan souls. I mean, that's going to be a scale you'll hear.
Okay.
You'll hear that uh-huh. scale on this podcast more often than not.
Yeah.
In describing movies. So
the Paz Easter Egg Dyeing Company uses that scale. So
yeah, yeah. It's like, you know.
It's a trusted scale.
Definitely. It's got a long history and a lot of dead orphans, which is real sad. But anyway, yeah, 15. 15 dead orphans. What?
How many okay. earwax candles?
How many earwax candles? Well, that's a different scale, but if you want me to go ahead and convert it, it's...
Yeah.
I can actually try to
first, math. What's the exchange rate? How many orphans equal one earwax candle?
Well, so the thing is, I should put this out there. It's not dead orphans. I misspoke. It's orphan souls. So they didn't have
so
to
how
die.
How many orphan bad. Souls?
How many orphan souls?
It's one
for
candle.
One ear candle? It's like 200. I know that's weird. It sounds
okay.
weird, but those
okay.
ear candles
so
are
I
wretched.
Feel like this still translates
things,
to point
things,
two.
Earwax yes, candles so and Shrek are expensive. I get you.
Yeah, they're only in currency. We talked about that 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Shrekland.
In Shrekland. Is that what it's called?
Shrekland.
Yep. Shrekland.
It's far away.
They're building that at Disney this year,
far,
even
far
though it's
away.
A DreamWorks thing.
Far, far away. I'm sorry. I know so much about Shrek. Please kill me.
Please stop. Please help.
Please kill me.
Please send help. I know too much about Shrek. Help me.
So who's ready for movies?
I think Tim should go first.
Oh, yeah, no. Let's change the order.
You're the only one that hasn't gone first yet.
I haven't gone first.
So,
okay.
We can get into a normal order, but you got to go first before we do anything else.
I'm not going to lie. This one's real stupid. And
mine's going to be worse, so go.
I can promise you that. Listen, I really like Manchurian Candidate. I thought that was a good movie. And so this is my movie is Manchurian Candidate 2, Candidating the President's Daughter.
One more time. Candidating.
Candidating the President's Daughter. Manchurian President's Candidate okay. 2.
All right.
Candidating the President's Daughter.
Okay.
Do you have a direction for this? Why I try and figure out what this movie is about?
Okay. Let me go ahead and give you the brief description of Manchurian Candidate. And David, okay. Help steer me in this because I haven't seen it in a long time. My understanding is that movie is basically this guy's a what's the term for it? A sleeper cell, and certain terminology will set him off to go kill the president.
He's basically being activated.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Activated.
Okay, gotcha. Understood.
Yeah, and so that's what this whole movie is, except for candidating the president's daughter. I don't know if you've seen My Date with the President's Daughter with the guy from Boy Meets World, uh-huh. but I know David has.
Oh yeah,
I've seen that for sure.
It's a good movie.
So really, it's that movie except for he has to kill the president.
Okay. So first off, I feel like we should. What's his trigger? Well,
I need to know what his trigger is.
Okay, go ahead.
Who's the lead in this movie? Because it depends on who the lead is.
I was just about to put that out
there.
I was going to ask. I feel like David has a name in mind. He's going to look in his crystal ball and divine us a name perfect for this film.
All right, so is he handsome?
Sure.
Okay. It is a male, I'm assuming. This is the 20.
I'm not trying to judge.
I don't know.
Listen, let's not stereotype this podcast.
But in my head, yes, it's a male.
I mean, I just...
Probably an ex-soldier.
Okay.
Or not. Right. I mean, it could be a high school kid. I don't care. Right. I mean, you could probably program anybody. If they said the right words right now, I would kill both of you. You know that, right? That's how Manchurian Candidate works.
Yeah.
So let me ask this. Are we looking more for, like, a Chris Pratt, or are we looking more for, like,
I think...
Well, so you got to have someone charming as well as...
Okay, Chris Pratt, right?
Buff. We're going with
Chris
Pratt. I mean, like, he's got no more dad bod, so I guess he's okay.
All right.
So Chris Pratt is the lead in this, right? When you take the anti-dad bod, like they do in Hollywood, the HGH... It stands for, like, anti-dad bod, I'm pretty sure. That's the scientific term.
Those acronyms check out. Go
on. HGH, anti-dad bod. That's I'm not good at the acronyms very, very well, but so Chris Pratt is the lead, all right?
Okay.
And so he meets the president's daughter.
Who plays her?
Chris Pratt. This is an all Chris
Pratt.
Are we doing a Nutty Professor
style
movie?
Oh no, you're on to me. All my movies star the same person in every role, who would have guessed? Who's his daughter?
I really think I liked Chris Pratt.
Who played what's her name from Gilmore Girls? Snooki or whatever her name is.
Melissa McCarthy.
Snooki? Is it Snooki?
Snooki.
Snooki
is Jersey Shore.
Right, so Chris
Pratt.
We can
also go with Snooki.
No. She played Snooki. Trust me. I'm pretty sure her name was Snooki in Gilmore Girls. I just watched it, okay? It's definitely not whatever word you said.
Chris Pratt and Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
She's the president's daughter.
Yeah. President's like 700 years old.
Okay, I was like, how old is the president?
Trump.
It's Trump. Oh my god. Is this a dystopian future?
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, like, all the checkers.
Don't you mean
down.
Utopian?
No. My idea of a dystopian future is that you can't find the checkers. That's all it is.
We're in one. We're in one right now.
Oh, it's so rough. How am I going to get my chili cheese fries?
All right, so, taking on. What's the trigger word?
The trigger word. Yeah, this is important.
This defines the whole
trigger
film.
Word. So he's normal guy until the trigger.
Right. He literally doesn't know that this is implanted.
Like, he may have, like, flashbacks and know that he might do it, but he doesn't fully understand until he hears the word. And he can kind of resist, but not really. So, like, I think the word has to be something that the president's daughter wouldn't say. What if the trigger word is something the president would only say in a time of distress?
Well, that's why it matters who the president is.
Yeah.
Is it Harrison Ford?
Yeah, I mean, he's like a mean old man, isn't he?
Yes.
He's a perfect president. Yes. And he is like 700 years old.
He's been the president before, so.
Yeah, he is the president right now. We don't know it, but he is. So
what wouldn't Harrison Ford say?
What wouldn't Harrison Ford say?
Please bring me a maple bacon Pop-Tart.
I love that Two Broke Girls show. That's what he would never say.
What's that? Just two broke girls come on. That's something he would never say.
We're going to have to put that in the apology.
Sorry.
We're not here to make friends. Still broke after 17 seasons.
Yeah, we're not here to make friends.
We're here to talk about...
We're here to pitch garbage.
No, I don't know. There's got to be a better trigger word.
So, all right. So, I kind of have a little bit of different vision for this movie. I hope that's okay for me to interrupt.
Let's get some
new So, do you guys remember Zoolander?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and you remember how he got trained to kill Will Ferrell and...
Yeah, it's basically
okay.
That.
Okay, so that's where... Okay, I just wanted to make sure it works.
That's it.
I just want an exact remake of that movie, line by line, but instead of Will Ferrell, it's Melissa McCarthy. And instead of Ben Stiller, it is Chris Pratt. And I would like the trigger word to be two words, and I would like it to be banana pancakes.
Okay.
I like this. Have you movie. Ever said banana pancakes? Think about it.
Yes, I have.
You ever said it voluntarily without somebody bringing up Jack Johnson?
I was about to say, Jack Johnson has made me say it a lot. I don't think I've ever said
I have a son who likes to eat banana pancakes.
I don't believe that.
In fact, you just said my trigger word and I have to kill both of them. Last time I got said, it was real awkward at the restaurant. So he goes on a date with the president's daughter. So let's just go ahead and put that out there.
Okay.
I think I've got it. All right, guys. All right. It's kind of blending yours and then what you just said about the last time it was said at a restaurant. So what if throughout the whole date, he's hearing the trigger word at different places and killing everyone after that, like as they're leaving the place.
So he's like real good at killing people without anyone noticing?
Yes. And okay. So they're just trying to figure out what's happening. And they keep tracing. Oh, wait a minute. I think that what she if, said she they were going to all these places all
you
day.
Got to the
day.
What if you got to the
start
end of this
piecing
movie.
It together that way?
If you got to the end of this movie and you found out that was just a documentary about Chris Pratt. And he was like a monstrous killing machine. No, so I like it. I like it. So like he keeps hearing the trigger word. And he's like, oh, I gotta use
this is a comedy, right?
Sure.
People are dying for comedic effect.
It's a dramedy. he's like, I gotta use the restroom. And he beats up the whole wait staff. And he may not kill him. He never said he had to kill everyone.
No,
he does. He doesn't have to, but he does.
He could just incapacitate him.
Well, he's a lot stronger now from the HGH, the anti-dad
mod.
And so he just punches people and they blow up.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Blood mist.
The blood mist.
That's my new favorite thing. Blood
it's good.
Mist.
It's a good
I can
term.
See it. When I see, when you say blood mist, I see Nick standing there and then I just see blood. That's what I see. Like, that's how instantaneous it is. It's like, if I just punched him.
Anyway,
so back to the movie.
I was still on the blood mist, but the movie.
The movie, okay, yeah, we guess we could talk about that.
All we gotta do is hit the trigger word and then we're done.
But the trigger word is blood mist punch, because no one would say that. Actually, he's like at a party, and they're like, hey, yeah, you gotta try this new punch. What's it called? Oh, blood mist punch. And then he starts killing everyone.
Well, if it's just a drink that she really likes to order.
Yeah. So he brings her, and he's gotta kill the president. But he doesn't want to. That's the important thing is like the president of bros. That's how
being a Manchurian candidate, you have to act against your will. Like that's otherwise there's no reason to brainwash you.
I think at the end
you'd just be a willing participant.
I think at the end
you'd just be a mercenary.
Yeah, that's the whole point of the program.
Yeah. No, it's just when we say this trigger word, I want you to willingly kill this person.
It's the locker. Just...
I'm a sleeper sock. No. You're not. You're totally not. You're just like a guy named Jeff.
You just said your own trigger word.
You just said it out loud. Why would you say it?
Plausible deniability.
Plausible deniability. That's not what that means. Like, that doesn't mean that at all. I'm an accessory to my own crime. What? That's worse. What are you talking about?
I can't
about?
Be used to testify against myself.
I'm married to myself. I can't testify against myself. See, that's how the movie ends. Okay, I'm ready to go to another movie.
I feel like that's real Andy logic, though, so I think it all works.
I think you should go, David.
So my movie is Taken 4, Taking Care of Business.
I already have this whole movie written. I would like to send you a PDF where you can see. Basically, it's like a depressed Liam Neeson. It opens with him sitting on a bench like depressed Keanu Reeves, and he's eating a sandwich.
Yeah.
And he realizes that no one needs him anymore because no one's kidnapping his daughter. It's the only reason he had to live. So he's like on the edge, you know? It's kind of depressing. And he realizes the only way that his daughter will love him is if he kidnaps her himself. And then he beats himself up. No, I mean, what do you think?
All right. So sometimes all my movies boil down to is one phrase and I just want to see them repeated over and over in different scenes.
Oh, you mean the trigger word.
This movie, it could really be whatever, but all I want to see is him applying to... He's lost his job, right? He can't be a mercenary anymore. His family's dead, whatever. Like, no one is there to be kidnapped. That's all. The point I want to make is no one's going to be kidnapped. I
never saw Taken 3, so sure.
That's sure. What so I think that what happens is he just keeps going on job interviews and he just gets to say, I have a certain set of skills. And then it cuts to him frying hamburgers
Taking care of business. That's it.
And then in one of them, he actually is just in a cover band singing Taking Care of Business.
Oh my God.
What if that's his trigger word and he's the Manchurian candidate?
Taking care of business.
He has to listen to the whole song.
Nick, what are your thoughts?
Okay, so
he only knows those.
Here's
words.
The deal. I'm just gonna selfishly do what I want to do here because it's only important to me that I get to be heard the way I want to be heard. So I
can agree with that.
I don't like Taking Care of Business, the movie, or Taken, the franchise.
It's Taking Care of Business.
Okay. Well, yeah, the Taking Care of Business, I remember, had James Belushi in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know about Taken 4, but I know about Taken 5. And that's Taken 5, Taken in Jamaican.
That's pretty good.
And that's where Liam Neeson loses his daughter to the Jamaican bobsled team. And
oh my God.
He has to fight them at the Olympics in martial arts.
Okay.
And he loses.
What are Jamaican martial arts?
I don't know.
can we make that up real quick? Or is that already a thing?
I'm pretty much a martial
arts
expert.
You're an expert, so let's see. Is Jamaican martial arts already a thing?
Yeah, it's Jamaican Kwando.
Do they just throw you pina coladas?
It's like Taekwondo, but you're a lot higher.
They fight with those tiny umbrellas.
There's a
right?
lot more marijuana in this martial art than others.
No. I know what it is. It's the steel drums. It's hacky
sacking.
Okay.
It's. I think, the martial art definitely has to be a take on Krav Maga. So, it's like Jamaica Maga.
Krav Mabra.
Krav Maga. I like that.
Done. I can't talk anymore.
That's it. That's the whole movie. It's just Liam Neeson beating up the bobsledding team. We're all in their 50s now, I'm pretty sure.
Well, Dougie Doug is still formidable.
I love Cool Runnings. That is the only movie where people fail at the end and everyone cheers. That I've seen, it's like you guys did great, except for you were last. So I'm not cheering, but maybe next year you guys will do better. I don't know. I mean, keep your chin up, but I'm disappointed.
It's one of those A for effort type of movies.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
I feel like that was my entire childhood. A for effort, Nick.
You participate in the Pinewood Derby where you race the little cars, and then you get a participation reward because your car didn't make it down the track all the way.
But it did roll.
Oh, boy.
And you got an egg for some reason. Wasn't that in the movie? There was an egg? He had an egg.
So, confession time.
Confession time.
I've never seen Cool Runnings.
Are you really serious?
Yeah, I've probably seen a clip. Never seen.
We need to pause
movie.
The podcast.
Yeah, can you pause it for a second? We gotta take care of something. That was my trigger word, and I'm right now resisting.
I've never seen Cool Runnings.
Oh,
don't say it again. You can't untrigger.
Please stop. Please stop saying it. The only way to stop this is for you to not exist. You do realize that, right? I will have to show you the blood mist punch, and I don't want to. I don't want to do this, guys. No. Oh, we're back. David just watched Cool Runnings.
Yeah, it's great. I really like John Candy in it.
Oh, man.
What a downer.
Oh.
You just ruined this.
Why?
That's letting everybody know how much you love Chris Farley after watching Tommy Boy.
Nobody loves Chris.
Welcome to the third episode.
Welcome to the Depression Podcast.
Third episode.
My name
of the
is
Depression
Nick,
Podcast.
And I'm with Tim and David.
It's been a bad week.
That clicking sound is erasers on my wrist.
That's... Gotta come out of the podcast.
That one's being edited.
That's gotta come out.
What? We're talking about depression. It's related.
No, it's too much.
It's not a pin top.
So, I'm gonna go ahead and just roll into my movie.
Wait. I think that David's movie still needs a little more workshopping.
All right.
And the only reason I say that is because there's a lot you could do with Liam Neeson throat chopping people. you pretty much just have to say, hey, we don't actually have a set, but we got two cameramen and we're in this restaurant. I just want you to karate chop as many people as possible. And that would be Taken 4. I mean, you don't even have
time
to have
trial.
He's taking care of business.
Yeah.
I just came up with something different. Okay, so do you guys see those reality TV shows where they come into businesses and they're struggling businesses and usually someone is a guru and they can help fix them and they invest in them. It's kind of like Shark Tank.
Kitchen Nightmares type
thing. Yeah, that sort of thing, like Restaurant Impossible.
Yeah.
What if taking care of business is Liam Neeson coming into business and killing partners that they want killed off instead?
I think we should go to Nick's now.
Okay, no, so, yeah, I think this is
fleshed out. Let me just preface all of what I'm about to tell you by just telling you about my favorite movie first.
Because David doesn't have anything, any way to relate.
My favorite movie of all time is Mighty Ducks. And that's not my movie tonight.
Did you say Mighty Ducks and Quack just now?
Sure.
Can you quack?
Quack.
Can you quack?
Quack.
Quack.
I'm good.
Quack. Quack.
Quack.
Quack.
What did I do?
Quack. 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 No? Okay. So, my favorite movie, and the reason it's my favorite movie is because you take a drunken criminal and you give him the ability to rehab himself by letting him watch children, unsupervised, I add you. And so, it's a really good family film. And so, I just to point that out, that I would like to roll into my movie now. Which is also another family film. It is Sling Blade 2, Quack Attack.
Before
I give you guys any opportunity to hijack my movie from the vision that I have for it, I just want to remind you that at the end of Sling Blade, if you haven't seen Sling Blade, it is a wonderful family film. Please take the kids and go see it if you can. But he is put into the mental hospital for a crime he committed. And I don't know that it was unjustified, but I just hope that when they let him out that...
Back into the hospital, right?
Yeah, he's put back into the hospital.
Back, right, because he starts out in it.
Yeah, he starts out in the hospital. Leaves.
Welcome to the Sling Blade podcast. Oh, God.
French fried potatoes.
Oh, man.
So I just think that we start the movie out by letting Carl, which is the main character's name, who is played by Billy Bob Thornton.
Carl!
And we just give him the opportunity to supervise children, specifically a hockey team.
All you're saying is this is Mighty Ducks.
It's a J.J. Abrams reboot.
Starring the lead of Sling Blade, but it's shot from one camera perspective, and the guy's name is Hutt.
No.
Just Cloverdale.
Cloverdale with hockey. It's great. It's not very exciting. It is shaky cam the whole time, though. You can't tell what's going on because he's, like, seeing his shoes.
I feel like J.J. Abrams would be like, all right, I would have pitched this movie, but what if the camera is...
This is the Puck story.
Okay.
So it's told completely from the Puck's perspective.
It's the next Pixar movie.
So now that I've tainted the entire view of that, if you didn't hear that, what would you think Sling Blade... Quack Attack is about. Go.
Actually, the weird thing is, when you said that, I thought, this is just Mighty Ducks. which I mean, is accurate, right? It's Mighty Ducks.
So, what if... All right, I know you're saying this is a Mighty Ducks thing, but what if...
It's the birds.
It's kind of like a... It's what?
It's like the birds. It's where
the birds
are attacking. I think it's the birds, isn't that what it's called? Where all the birds attack.
I thought we were going burbs, like Tom Hanks.
Yeah,
burbs.
It's a mix between all movies. All movies together into
all movies are Space Jam.
All movies are Space Jam.
So what I was thinking is, what if the Mighty Ducks grew up and they didn't want to break up? All right?
Hockey was still Wait,
like,
what if they have to take an alcoholic and teach him to play hockey?
No.
Oh, the reverse. That is so great.
So what if the Mighty Ducks just don't want to break up? Like, they want to stay a group. Okay, so just stop. Like, all right, so a hockey team, they can't be a hockey team forever, right? So the next legitimate step is a gang, right?
I was just going to say that. And so now they're in prison, right? And they've got to learn to play hockey against other prisons.
No, it's the longest hockey.
It's the longest ice yard. That's what they call them in hockey, right? I don't know. This is
Can we just have a scene? I don't care if it's a hockey game or not. Can we just have a scene where Billy Bob Thornton is walking around in either the showers and it's super steamy and he can't see past his own face, and just out of the blackness they just hear the quack from the Mighty Ducks from different directions? It's just a really frightening scene. That's all I want.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with that. Like, for real.
I don't care how else it goes.
That's just everyday life. Like, you just said follow Billy Bob Thornton around with a camera
and quack at him.
Quack at him. I feel like that's a solid film. Like
I'm down with that. I got to say what I wanted to say, and after I asked,
guys, okay, this is off topic, but if you have the power, listen. If you had the power to punch somebody and it turned them into blood mist, let's just say that you trained under a kung fu master for like 30 years and you perfected the blood mist punch, would you use it?
Well, I thought we were going to ask.
BMP.
Hold on.
Blood mist punch.
Blood mist punch.
I thought you were going to ask who we would use it on.
No, so I'm leaving it up.
An energy drink.
What if you guys were like, I don't want to do it? You did have to kill your master to prove you were worthy.
I'd do it.
And I don't know how this gets transferred down the line, because there's only one person who knows how to do the blood mist punch, because every time they teach it to somebody, that person has to punch them.
Yeah.
I would do it.
Well, that's how it gets transferred down the
line. All right. So, would you punch... Who?
Kevin James.
So, after the last episode, I went home and... Kevin James was there.
Waiting on you.
Listen, this is not funny. Don't laugh. I'm dead serious. The door had been kicked in. It was obvious. This giant Kevin James. He's huge in real life. He's like 16 feet tall. You guys have no idea. He's like Kingpin from Daredevil. He's huge. He's just a huge dude, and he's like terrifying.
He carries around a cardboard.
Yeah, he does.
That's the trigger word. It's Kevin James.
But no, so I got...
Because he would never start a movie.
This isn't funny. Don't talk about Kevin James. I'm dead serious. I was home, and he had on closed circuit television my family tied up, and he said, if you guys make another joke about Kevin James, I will take them, and I will make them live in existence where they're in all my movies. And I'm getting a little teary. I just...
Are you done?
But then,
are you done?
But Kevin James? No. this actually happened. I'm not joking. I need you to edit this all out of the podcast. I'm having a moment here. I'm literally crying, and you guys are laughing at me, and I don't understand. This is going to be 20 minutes of the podcast. It's me trying to recover from you guys not editing this out of the podcast.
Can't.
I would like to lead the apologies section again, and just preemptively say sorry to the two broke girls. I don't actually know their names, but...
Kat Dennings
and
the other girl who's not Kat Dennings.
Cares about.
So just Kat Dennings and
the
other girl.
Wasn't one of them in a movie with in a movie?
Yeah, Kat Dennings. She was in Charlie Bartlett.
Okay, that's who it was.
And Nick and Nora's Infinite.
That's what I was thinking of that movie. I couldn't remember the other guy's name.
Anton Yelchin was
no. He's talking about Infinite Playlist. How's the guy from
Michael who? Michael who?
Michael Cera.
I can't
Michael
hear you Cera. Over his genericness. So. let's go ahead and start the apology portion of this.
Welcome to the apology podcast.
This is the apology cast. We pretty much just say inflammatory things and then apologize at the end.
This is the sorry cast.
I don't have any apologies because I'm unapologetic.
Because we cut out all of his sexist.
He's the editor of the podcast, so Nick sounds like a saint, but I'm sitting here making fun of two pro girls. They're just trying to make
sorry to Kevin James again.
I'm sorry that I called you Snooki. Like, we're still good.
Sorry, Melissa McCarthy, for calling you Snooki.
Actually, I'd like to apologize to Publix for assuming you're an adult bookstore when I got here. I really love your produce. Thank you.
Oh, we're done.
We're done.
We're done.
We were done like 30
done.
Seconds.
Okay, we're done. I'm gonna go ahead and end it.
I want to introduce myself as Tim from now on. That way, are you guys okay with that? Like, oh yeah, and I'm Tim. Really well. You hear a word he said, but okay, I guess he's on the podcast. I hear him. I hear you.
Sure. You can do that.
I just want. I don't want them to know who I am when I'm talking, because they think you made him up. Like that. There's a third guy on the podcast, right? I don't know. I can't understand a word he's saying.
I still think we should introduce a fourth guy. And it's just one of us in a different voice.
That's pretty much me. Yeah, I'm not already. You didn't hear me do those impressions the first podcast?
No. Go ahead and do them real quick.
Well, it's Eddie Murphy again.
You want to hear me do Eddie Murphy again? It's really good. I'm gonna just steal the joke from the first podcast and do a really good bad impression of Eddie Murphy.
I'm Morgan Freeman.
Well, that was weird. That sounded just like Eddie Murphy. Did you guys hear it?
All right, can we talk about this Pop-Tart?
Can we open the intro first?
Okay. So, hey, it's Saturday, February 6th. This is Nick Cagey, and you're listening to the Unpitchable Podcast, a movie about fake movies.
Nope.
If you got it right, I was going to go, Sam! Anyway, and you're like, I'm David. I'm Sam! Sammy!
Hey, this is your podcast for February 6, 2016. You're listening to the Unpitchable Podcast, a fake... Nope. I'm getting so...
podcast.
Hey, welcome. This is your podcast for Saturday, January 6, 2016.
Nope.
Sorry. February 6th. Whoa, we went back in time. No, we released this one first. That way the second one is funnier. Welcome to the Unpitchable Podcast. It's that.
All
right. This is the podcast.
You're almost up. One more fail and yeah, he's out of lives.
One more fail.
He's out of lives.
Welcome. This is the podcast for February, blah, 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 6th, 13th, 35. Can you put all these fail words
right.
in?
Right.
No, wait. No, do it again. I'm going to be louder and more confident. That's how I'm going to do it. Listen.
Last try.
You have to pump out your chest.
Last try.
Stretch your arms out.
Last try.
Breathe.
You do it. All right. Okay. Welcome, this is your podcast for February 6, 2016. This is Unpitchable. This is a podcast about making up fake movies based off existing movies.
Correct.
Anything you guys want to add or you want to go into it?
Did you not know what podcast
I don't.
Doing?
I was so sorry, confused.
Hey, it's Saturday, February 6, 2016. You're listening to Unpitchable, a podcast about fake movies. I'm your host, David Johnson, and with me I have...
Nick Keggy.
And Tim Catania. And David definitely didn't just read that off his iPad. Like, that was like... That was like... Welcome to Unpitchable, a podcast about movies.
Sorry, did
I'm
that
David
sound
Johnson.
Like
this
I read
is staying
it?
Yes, it did. Now listen. This is my report on butterflies. Let me tell you about butterflies. Butterflies love flowers. I'm getting real nervous up here. I'm going to just read faster, if that's okay with all of you, instead of look at the audience. That's what it felt like.
The audience?
I am the audience!
All right.
Hey, this is your podcast for February... Oh my god, I hate this. Done.
If we do one part right every 4 minutes, you can cut it into a really good intro. All right,
look, it's real quick. It's simple. After you just said what you said.
I'm Tim Catania.
Yeah.
With me is...
It.
Okay.
That's it. This is one piece
That's
missing.
It. Okay.
Welcome to Unpitchable. This is your podcast for February 6, 2016. I'm Tim Catania, and with me is...
Nick Keggy.
And David Johnson. That's why one person needs
okay,
to
well, you can
it.
Cut that intro in if you want to timestamp me or David.
No,
I don't care.
No, that was great.
We got 15 good intros.
Hey, this is the Pitchable Podcast.
This is the, sorry, look, we can't figure out how to do the intro. Apparently, none of us can intro properly. So rather than doing an intro, this is the Unpitchable Podcast. It's for the date of February 6, 2016. And if we mess anything else up after this, Nick is going to kill us. So... This podcast is about freaking movies where we make up sequels. Okay, I had to get it out. Go ahead. So the other thing, what are we talking about at the beginning?
Pop-Tart. I think we need to talk about Pop-Tarts.
Is there anything with Batman versus Superman?
I'm a little bit concerned that The Rock keeps getting doubling in size every movie. That was the next
That's
thing.
That's pretty good. Okay, let's talk about that.
Okay, all right.
But no, but what about...
Sam!